FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome, and you are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz. It's 10/16/18. And as always, if you want to be a part of the show, just email me at kl@kerrylutz.com. Well, person you're about to hear from now, you've probably been reading his work for many years, as have I. He almost needs no introduction. His name is David Limbaugh. David, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you. Well, thanks for having me.
It is indeed an honor. We'll be talking about your book, Jesus is Risen, which recently came out. We're really thrilled to have you on. But first, the left. We no interview without you would be complete without a little bit of a survey of the left's current insanity. We can start with Brett Kavanaugh and kind of work our way on from there. I mean, what is going on in this country? Is there like two alternative universes, one that the right inhabits and one that the left inhabits?
Well, there's no question about that. And I think they are exceedingly frustrated that they are not in power. They saw Obama as some kind of a savior that would usher in decades of progressive utopia. And it didn't pan out. Obama was popular personally. He wasn't able to have any of his popularity translate into election victories for anyone else down the ballot. And so they are frustrated, too, because they won the popular vote and were in the presidential election and were unable to win. So now when they always want to change the system. So they want to change the electoral college system now. And they want to, they're frustrated because they can't get their leftist activists on the court to change policy unlawfully, to get the Supreme Court to act as a super legislature. And now Trump has succeeded in getting two originalists to the court, Gorsuch and Kavanaugh, and they are freaking out. So now they want to change the constitution composition of the court.
Yeah.
So they, whenever they don't win, they want to change the system. They're amazing, in justifies the means authoritarians. So there, we saw what they're capable of doing with Kavanaugh, and they are increasingly showing themselves, exposing themselves. It's to the level of spiritual warfare. We see those demonic screeches by leftist howlers outside the Supreme Court.
Yeah.
We see these people hounding conservative figures out of public restaurants and other places. They don't act civilly in so many cases. And finally, the right has awakened and is fighting back. We don't have to get as dirty as them, but it's a relief that in the era of Trump, we are finally fighting back.
Hey, and it's so true what you're saying. There's finally a realization that this liberal pathogen, as our good friend Mark Dice calls it, can't be cured through conventional means. Maybe it requires shock treatment. Maybe it requires hydrotherapy where they strap the patient down and pound them with fire hoses. I'm not sure what the cure is here, David, but I'm seeing that it's gone metastatic. When you see what these people are capable of, look, let's go to the Congress. Why the heck don't they expel Maxine Waters and Sheila Jackson Lee and the others? They should be expelled. We shouldn't have to deal with them. They don't belong in the people's house. They should be gone. Why won't these wimpy, linguine-spined rhinos just get the message and know that the only way to deal with evil is to confront it head on?
Yeah, and then we've got the Never Trump contingent in the right who are afraid of fighting back, and now they're to the point of even siding with liberals. And some of the extreme Never Trumpers are advocating that people vote for Democrats in the mm-hmm. November elections, and actually acting like that's healthy for a conservative purge. It's the most nonsensical thing I've ever seen.
Yeah, the Jeff Flakes, the Ben Sasses, and all of those people.
Yeah
they're definitely part of the Uniparty. They're just out there to continue perpetrating the scam. But look, like if Dianne Feinstein leaked any of Dr. Ford's info that was sent in confidence, or any of her staff did, or both at her direction, it's probably a good chance what happened. We don't know for sure. She should be expelled from the Senate without a second thought, because after Clarence Thomas, they passed rules to prevent this from ever happening again. And here we are. It's deja vu all over again.
Yeah. I wouldn't hold your breath on those kinds of actions. But I do think that our side, at least the grassroots, have begun to fight back, and the politicians are starting to get the message. And that's why Trump continues to be popular. He's an outgrowth of this popular effort. He's the current leader of it, but somebody like Trump was bound to come along. He happens to be unique, and he's giving us a template of how to fight these people back, and he's doing it fearlessly. And that's why I've grown to like him more and more as the months have gone by.
He is the Ulysses S. Grant of right ideology. You know, Lincoln didn't particularly care much for Ulysses S. Grant, despised him in many ways. But when he replaced General McClellan, he said, Grant fights and Trump fights. And the other thing is, you talked how Obama had no coattails. We're about to find out that Trump's coattails are almost all-encompassing. I mean, what I'm believing is going to happen here, especially in the Senate, but I think to a lesser extent in the House, is that the Trump-backed candidates are going to carry this thing off and destroy the left. And we could see close to 60 seats in the Senate. That's what I'm starting to think, because even Menendez, when you see Menendez in trouble in New Jersey, he'll get reelected, I'm sure. But if his support is soft, you know, New Jersey likes corrupt politicians. They reelected Bob Torricelli, even though they knew he was a criminal. New Jersey just likes their politicians corrupt. But even there, when Menendez's support is softening, there's something going on here that the polls can barely grasp.
I agree. I don't know how it's all going to shake out, but I know it's going to be a lot better than the pollsters were originally predicting and are still predicting. I just pray we hold on to the House. I have no doubt we'll handily hold on to the Senate.
I believe we will. Hey, I was one of the few semi-pundits who said that Trump was going to win, and I said it back in July of 2015, only doubted it for two or three days in the run-up to the election, but I was confident throughout, and sure enough, he did, and I believe we're going to see a similar result here, because I do believe that there is a core of decency in America, in most people, and when they see the type of treatment that a person of Judge Kavanaugh and his family's caliber, the guy probably never even handed in a homework assignment late here, David. You know, he's exemplary. And if they can go after him, then everybody knows that you're a target next. And there's going to be a visceral reaction to his treatment.
Totally agree. And we're going to see that play out in November. No doubt about it.
No doubt. Hey, one thing I want to just talk to you about is the liberal mindset. So my niece is a liberal. She's not a stupid person on an intellectual level, but we're talking about what Trump has done. And I say, well, look at Korea. She says he's done nothing in Korea. Nothing's happened there. I said, wait a second. The guy is crossing the DMZ for the first time. He stopped making threats to the U.S. He stopped firing off missiles. It appears the nuclear plan is at the very least on hold. How is that nothing? And of course, when I make these points, cognitive dissonance sets in and silence. So how do you break through? Can you break through, or should you just give up?
No, you don't give up, but I do think it's a worldview barrier, and I think kids are being indoctrinated in schools. Our media, Hollywood, and other cultural influences have worked on the people, but I still think the majority of Americans are ultimately conservative, and we just have to keep trying. I don't think you win many people over with argument. We still have to try, because I don't think it's a matter of facts or education, in the sense of we need to equip them with the facts. They're impervious to the facts if they have that certain mindset. And it's a real tough thing, and it takes time to break through. Rush has been very successful. Very few people have been as successful as he has at converting liberals, but he does it by being persuasive and doing it in a non-confrontational way. And I know people have portrayed him as some wild man on the radio, and in fact, that's probably the opposite of the truth. I mean, he's pretty much respectful to people, but he has had it like the rest of us have. We're outraged by what the left is doing, and we're outraged by the thanklessness of the Republican Party for so long, and that's why we're seeing what we're seeing. But in terms of convincing people, I have no magic formula. It's just, you just got to keep trying.
Yeah, so you don't give up, and you don't get angry, and you don't be malicious. You don't get malicious or nasty. You kind of have to look at it. It's like you've got a little kid on your lap, your kid, 2-3 years old or 4 years old, and you're trying to teach them how to read or some other skill. And the first 30 efforts, attempts, are going to meet with failure. But you keep trying because you got to teach the kid how to write, how to read, and how to become literate.
Right.
So I guess it's an exercise in political literacy that we're really up against.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next.
Egypt is on the verge, once again, becoming a world-renowned gold producer. The Golden Age is being rediscovered. For millennia, ancient Egyptian kingdoms prospered from unparalleled riches. Pharaohs built their empires and flaunted their abundant wealth that was made possible by the country's resource-rich gold deposits. Despite this rich history, modern Egypt remains one of the most underdeveloped gold mining countries in the world. Aton Resources is at the center of the modern Egyptian mining world, diligently working both as the only public exploration company in Egypt today and as the advocate for mining reform with the Egyptian government. However, those that arrive early, like Aton, will reap the best rewards. Aton's discovery of the legendary lost mountain of gold at Rudruin and its current aggressive drilling program there could potentially reap those rewards. Aton Resources is focused on its 100% owned Abu Marwat concession in the Arabian-Nubian Shield, located 200 kilometers north of Sentimen Sakkari's world-class gold mine. Aton possesses first-mover advantage in the underfollowed jurisdiction of Egypt, which is currently undergoing mining reform. To stay on top of Aton's latest drill results and news, go to AtonResources.com. Aton trades on the TSX-V under the ticker AAN and on the OTC under the ticker ANLBF.
The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Hey, one thing I wanted to let you know is that October is National Lie to Your Pollster Month. We need to get rid of all these polls here, David, because the polls are become a substitute for news reporting. They're deceptive. They're astroturfed. They're basically trying to make you believe a lie, most of them. So if everybody lied to their pollster, maybe we could get rid of this ecosystem of pollsters that bring in billions of dollars a year to unworthy recipients.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. The situation in our political climate is so fluid anyway. I don't know what value the polls really have, other than, as you say, motivate people or to dominate a certain news cycle. But you've got to be very wary of these polls.
Yeah, and it's better if they weren't there. I mean, like, how do you measure Trump's approval rating? That is the most ridiculous thing, you know. And the way you ask the question is everything in these polls. There's bias of the questioner, bias of the tabulator, all these things. So you ask somebody a question, Trump is turning the U.S. into a police state. Do you think he's doing a good job, true or false? Right. And it's like, how do you deal with that? That's just pure fantasy and just pure bias.
Yeah, well, there's no way. We can't prevent people from polling, but you're right. They the way they ask the questions they ask are determinative, and that's obvious. So all you can do is try to get your message out. That's what you're doing with your show, and everybody plays their part.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's talk about your book. It's one of many that you've written. You must be up to 10 or 12 books already. I mean, you're pretty prolific in your writing. Jesus is risen. So you kind of trace the evolution of Christianity to this, from this small group, you know, of the apostles, the hardcore followers, and it becomes a worldwide movement. So tell us about the book, how you conceived of it, and what message you wanted to get across.
Yeah, the book is my fourth in the Christian themed series. Last book was about the Gospels. This book is about the Book of Acts, the history of the early church, and six of the Apostle Paul's 13 epistles to churches and individuals. So I try to give people a sense of what the Scripture says by summarizing Scripture, restating it, and then providing a commentary along the way. This is almost every verse in these seven books of the Bible I cover. And the goal is to introduce people to the Scripture, familiarize themselves with the Scripture, and reduce their intimidation about it, accelerate their learning curve, and hopefully inspire them to read the Bible for themselves, which I firmly believe to be the inspired Word of God. So that's the goal, is to act as a primer, as a study guide, to get people really familiar with the Scripture itself on these seven books. And I intend, after this book, to complete the New Testament after what I've covered here, including the last book, except perhaps for the book of Revelation. I don't think I'll tackle that one.
Hey, well, it's a lifelong work for anybody trying to, really tell the stories of the Bible and the people involved, the New Testament, the Old Testament. You must get some satisfaction out of doing this.
Yeah, the more you read the Bible, the more you learn about it, the closer you get to God. And I have to read it. I have to study it intensely as I write a book, research and write a book. And so it's very gratifying for me. I'm sure I get more out of this process than any of my readers. And I because when you write a book, you just, as the historian Paul Johnson said, if you want to really learn about a subject, the best way to do it is write a book. And I found that to be true. And so that's my selfish motive for doing it. But the real reason is I want to share my passion for the Bible. And I think if people will read these books, especially this book, Jesus is Risen, this passion might be contagious. And they may just begin a lifelong process of reading and studying Scripture.
And so you've been doing this your whole life, and you want to hand off the magic and the love. And look, for your children, what's the one thing you want them to take out of your life, what you've been doing, your mission? When they look back in 30, 40 years, and God willing, you're an old man, retired, and full of wisdom, what do you want them to think about you after your life's work is done?
I don't really think about that too much. I just try to live the best life I can and try to inspire them to be godly and to develop a relationship with God. And my wife is better at that than I am. And hopefully that develop all the appropriate attitudes and the right approach to life. And, but looking back on, for them to look back on it, I hope that, that they'll profit by it, but I don't need any monuments or anything.
No, that's not what it's about. The people who need the monuments, the Barack Obama Memorial Highway that they just named here, not too far from your brother's house in Palm Beach County, Florida. It was Dixie Highway, but now it's the Barack Obama Highway. The monument people, the Robert Byrds, you know where that sense of needing monuments comes from. But in terms of you, what I've always gotten from you, from your writing, from your speaking, is besides your passion, there's an absolute love for what you're doing. And to be able to pass that on to your children, that's got to be something that every parent really seeks to do, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I do think, I don't know, but I'm hoping that the passion is contagious with them, too, and that they will be excited about approaching these things and living Christian lives and having a Christ-like walk. So we'll see what happens. You never know what's going to happen with your kids. You just got to pray a lot.
You don't. Yeah, I do. I pray all the time for my kids, and thank God my prayers have been answered as far as my children go. And you know, one other thing, you know, you're a lawyer. I have that similarity with you. I'm a recovering attorney, I like to say. And when you look at your legal training, and you came from a legal family, relatives or judges. So when you look back on what you got out of the law, not so much as it applies in the courtroom, but as it applies to life and to leading your life and the work you do now, just give us an important thing you learned from the law.
Well, we were raised in the tradition of the law, and my grandfather practiced till he was 103, died at 104, and he had a love for the law, a love for the Constitution and our unique system of government and liberties. And the law, if you have a respect for the law, of course, you respect what the meat, nuts and bolts of a system that will guarantee, that will continue to guarantee the freest and most prosperous nation in the history of the world. So it's important that we have a reverence for the law and that we adhere to it and that we make sure, to the extent we're capable, that it conforms to the Constitution and that people don't start abusing the system and using law as a weapon instead of as a safeguard. And people, I think lawyers have a bad rap because they're assumed to be shysters and all that. But in my experience, in my legal profession, there are a lot of honorable people, and we have to encourage more honorable people and train them up in the proper ways of the law, and so that they will have respect for the law and use it wisely and nobly and honorably. And so I don't know how you feel about it as a lawyer, but I have a much better outlook on it. It just troubles me that when the other side of the political aisle exploits the law for their own purposes, we can't countenance that. And so I want to instill in my kids a respect for the law and the Constitution, and them to be unapologetic about supporting it and doing what they can to engage in the system itself and not be passive and fall away from it because of some cynical influences.
Hey, and if you pass on your ability for critical thinking, for independent thought, then and your kids can absorb it, regardless what beliefs they might have from indoctrination, from other sources, et cetera, if you have the ability to think critically, then you have a very good possibility of getting to the bottom of it and seeing through the lies of the left, of the media, I guess I repeat myself, and of the Democrat Party, which really has been the chief purveyor of dishonesty in the country for all too long. Hey, David, I want to thank you again for coming on. Again, the book is Jesus is Risen. I assume that it's available wherever fine books used to be sold.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And the other part about the law is we want it helps you learn how to research, and it helps you, as you said, I want to affirm what you said, to be a critical, independent thinker and to evaluate these things in our culture and politics with an independent mind and not to be some sheep of someone else. That's a very important point you raised. So thank you so much for having me on.
Hey, it's been an absolute pleasure, David, and best of luck on this book and all of your future ones, and say hi to Rush for us, and gratitude for you to come on with us and speak. Be well.
Thank you so much for having me. You too. Thank you so much.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get 3 free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.